Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
You probably drive right past it going to Oregon. So, a little bit about me. I know we have just a couple of slides here, maybe. But my dad graduated from Boise Bible College in 1986 or 1987. Right up here, you see that's me sporting a Boise Bible College sweater, so that's good. I did that on purpose. Not really. But I accidentally wore that up cutting firewood, and so now it's my permanent firewood sweater because it's covered in pit. But anyway, from, I guess, right to left, these are my three children and me. My five-year-old daughter, Adeline, my three-year-old tank, Gabriel, and my 13-year-old knucklehead, Elijah. So, and he is all 13 years old and likes to try and challenge me and see if he can tackle me and knock me down and beat me up, but I still got him by quite a bit. So I think on the next slide is my wife and I, been married for 15 years. She is a Boise Bible College alum. So for all of you dudes out here, there is hope. So I actually had no intention of getting married when I met my wife, as usually is the case. She went here. She grew up in Nampa. Her family's from Fruitland as well. And as you can see, much to Mr. Grove's chagrin, I rock a lot of Ontario Tiger gear because I coach football in Ontario. I've coached with the high school. I think that's the next slide, maybe, if it's still in there. Ontario High School and Ontario Middle School. Now where I'm the defensive line coach. So I also serve as a police chaplain. I also serve as a biology teacher for our homeschool co-op, and I've been a biology teacher in the past for Christian school in Ontario that is now no longer there. But God is taking me into a lot of places that if you had asked me 20 years ago if I would have ever been there, I would have said, absolutely not. In fact, when I came to Boise Bible College the second time, because there was a first, and it was right after I got out of the Navy in 2003, and my brother Nick Duffel is in here, and he was here. And I had no business being at Bible College. I'd just come out of being in the Navy for 4 years. And for some reason, even though being in the military for 4 years, thinking I had all this discipline and all this order and all this structure, it was weird. I didn't want to be told what to do. Like some of you, maybe. You're just now, if you're traditional students, you're just now out of mom and dad's house, out of their clutches, you freshmen in here. And that's why Cody's up here talking to you about how to clean your dorm room. Because some of y'all needed reminded. Because mom and dad aren't there anymore, right? And like you, I only made it even, I don't even think through a whole freshman semester. I think I made it the first semester and then basically flunked out after that. And all of that, I want to preface, was God's plan. It's weird to think of. Failure, struggle, heartache, self-inflicted wounds, all those type of things. It's weird to think of those things as oftentimes God's plan for his greater purpose for you. And what's amazing about that greater plan and that greater purpose is it actually has nothing to do with you, does it? You are simply a servant in God's house, as we'll talk about Moses was. You're just a servant. All you do is to exist, is to point people to the Son, just like Moses did. I was looking over, I was poring over as Cody texted me on Tuesday, and it's Thursday, and I was like, what am I going to say? And even in that reality, when I was sitting there in my office or in my basement at home or just in my car, even on the way here throughout the night, and I couldn't sleep, I kept waking up, which happens just more often as you get older, by the way. I'm just here to testify to that. I just say, God, just take whatever it is that you want to be said and give it to you students. You're going to notice I use my hands a lot. Whitaker would have slapped me for it. And he's not here, so I don't have to look at his resting grumpy face. I don't know if there's other, you're preaching. There he is. You have a resting grumpy face? Almost? Preaching students. Preaching students testify. Does he have a resting grumpy face? Okay, good. That's good. It's good. You need that. You need that. Because nothing humbles you more than thinking, I just spoke a blasphemy and I can't tell. But I'm here to tell you today, through the story of Moses, and I'll promise I'll have to keep it 20 to 25, and for me, I'm looking at that countdown clock up there, I'm like, oh no. I'm usually around a 40 to 45 minute speaker, so this is a good test for me today. But I was looking at the concept of, you guys are going through this with Moses, is the idea of a just to liberator. And I thought about that. And if you're like me, and you love the idea of liberty, right? States, you love the idea of freedom. If you're like me, I live in America. I served in the United States Navy. So I love the idea of freedom, right? I sacrificed for it. I signed my name on the dotted line like so many other brothers and sisters have done before me. I love the idea of freedom. But if we're talking about human freedom, it's not enough, right? I was looking through this, and I could go through this exegetically, which I'm really kind of fond of, just going by verse, but I don't have enough time today. And I was thinking about Moses and where he was, and we're kind of in Exodus chapter 3 today, though I would love to go into Exodus chapter 4 because I kind of love Moses' response to God. You kind of saw it up here in the drama, right? Like, God tells Moses exactly what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and how he's going to be with him. And Moses is like, but I can't speak good, right? And that reminded me of when I came to Boise Bible College. I never intended that I would be a preaching professor or a preaching student. In fact, I had all the intention in the world doing youth ministry or something else like that. And then after my freshman semester, the first fall semester, God's like, this is what I want you to do. And I had to really just rest and rely on God, though I didn't see how it was going to work. And Moses gets placed exactly in this. I want you to consider for a second why Moses is in the wilderness in the first place. Do you remember Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15? And what happened? Right here in chapter 2, it says, one day when Moses had grown up, he was a man, right? He was walking around in Egypt like he's a man. Some of y'all, maybe his same age. Maybe he's a little bit older, but he's a man. He has things figured out in his head. And he sees the oppression that is happening to the Hebrews, and he thinks for himself, I know what I'll do. Right, and it says right there in 11 through 15 that he looks this way and that. If you're catching on to what's being said, is he premeditated what he was about to do. He looked this way and that to see that he wouldn't get caught. He picks up a boulder and smashes the dude, right? He straight up kills an Egyptian thinking, look at me, I'm a liberator. I'm freeing my brothers and sisters. And then what happens? They're like, well, we don't know you. What do you think you're doing? And Moses flees out of fear. He hears Pharaoh's going to kill him, so he flees to Midian. And why is in Midian? What happens? Some good stuff, right? He gets married. He has kids. He's got a good career for 4-H sheep herder. If you ever worked with sheep, you know that's not true. My son raises sheep for 4-H. They're stupid. Dumbest animals God ever created. Which is really funny why God calls us sheep. You guys are like, oh yeah, I get it now. Because we tend to be kind of stupid, kind of thick-headed. Moses tended to be kind of thick-headed, didn't he? Yet he was someone chosen by God to do magnificent things. But let me ask you a question. Was it ever in Moses' power? Did anything that Moses ever do, was it in his power? When he threw his staff down, was it some kind of hocus pocus, some Harry Potter stuff? I don't know. Is that popular anymore? Maybe not. Showing my age? I don't know. Or did God do that? I love how the plagues if you're watching the plagues, right? Moses moving from this sheep herding murderer, right? Into God's liberator for his people. As the plagues continue, don't they get more profound? Like, this could be explained. This can be explained. This can be explained. River turning to blood? Kind of can explain that. Death of the firstborn of all living things? All of a sudden can't be explained, can it? And then Moses goes, takes the people of Israel, right? And he goes to the Red Sea. And what does God tell Moses to do there that they're being pursued? You guys all did flannel graphs maybe as kids? Probably not. That's my age. God told Moses to lift up his staff. Did Moses part the Red Sea? Did God part the Red Sea? It says that he parted the Red Sea, that it was dry, right? The Israelites, all of the Israelites were able to walk through on dry land. And then the Red Sea swallowed up pretty much the entire army of Egypt. Going through, look at all what God did. It's fascinating that this is the text that you guys are going through, because I want to point this out. Sorry, that's Judges. If you go to Hebrews, this is what the author of Hebrews said about Moses, but I want you to hear what was really said here. This comes out of verse 5, Hebrews chapter 3. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, right? Moses was a servant. It's not up there. Maybe it is. But Moses was faithful to God, right? But as a servant. In all reality, in any ministry that you get into, like I think was set up before I got up here, I've been serving for 9 years. You know when I got hired to go to Valley Christian Church? I was a senior here. In fact, I can fondly remember, and I quite often do, David DeVolt sitting right back there, as I walked into the front office and I was this time of year, right? Freshman semester, or senior, fall semester, and I knew that God had called me to go to somewhere in ministry. But like many of you, you have no background in ministry. Churches have this inconvenient thing, needs to have a bachelor's, needs to have 20 years of experience, needs to have this. Maybe they're saying, you need to have a master's from this place or this place, you need to do this, you need to do these things, you need to have these credentials. But in the back of my head, I knew that God had called me to do something for him. And you know what in my mind was? I'll be an associate pastor. That's safe, right? Nobody really looks at you. You get up one Sunday a month or a quarter, and if anything, if you bomb the sermon, they're just like, oh, he's just the associate. Growing. Right? David told me to reach out to this church in Fruitland, Idaho. and my predecessor's name's Ralph Pearson, and maybe that'll matter to you in a second, but I thought it was really funny because I called and then nobody answered. I left a message. I don't know about you, but do you like it when people leave you hanging? So a couple weeks passed by, right? And in that couple weeks, I just kept talking to my wife. In fact, we just lived down the road in the apartments, not the Glenwood Village, but the one behind it. And I just said, you know, we're coming up on winter break. I had got a horrible flu. I literally had to miss my final in 2 Corinthians class. Do you remember that, Derek? I had to take a bad grade there because I was so sick. And I just thought, let me call this church one last time. So I called and Ralph picked up, and you know what the first thing is like, you sound just like your dad. Well, I was like, it's a weird way of doing anything. I was like, maybe I made a mistake. But long story, trying to keep it short, Ralph and his wife came and had lunch with me. They told me to bring a resume. I handed them a resume. He took the resume, talked to the elders of the church. The elders decided to invite me for a tryout Sunday. In between that time, my wife and I and my only, at the time, Elijah, our son, our oldest, went to church and as we were at church, we realized something. This is exactly where God wanted us. Why? I have no idea. Are there better preachers than me? Most certainly. Are there better theologians than me? Most definitely. Are there better leaders than me? Absolutely. But God called me to go there for some reason. So I went and did my tryout sermon. I got hired. Part-time associate pastor. You know what I did for my other side of my job? Part-time janitor. It's basically the same job. I'm just joking, but kind of. I was told that it would be a 3 or 5 year process, and they intended to move me towards the idea of being a senior pastor. 6 months in, when my father and I were in Oklahoma taking care of some family business over there, Ralph got up on stage on Sunday and says, "I'm retiring, and Matt's the new pastor," while I was in Oklahoma. Unbeknownst to the elders, unbeknownst to the church, and pretty much unbeknownst to me. 8 years ago, all that stuff happened. And you want to know why? I'm still standing here today, serving a church in little rural Fruitland, Idaho, which is growing like crazy, but still little rural Fruitland, Idaho. Because it's not about me. You see, it wasn't about Moses. In all reality, and I see my time's dwindling at this point, but in all reality, Moses is just showing you what true liberation is, right? He freed the Jews from their captives in Egypt. But the Jews grumbled and complained and moaned all the way, right? To the point that entire generations of Jews had to be basically wiped out for them to get into the promised land. And then Moses himself, what did he do? You guys, an OT intro? Right? Any of you guys take an OT intro? Is that what they still call it today? I don't know. You remember when Moses struck the rock and said, "Look what I provided you." And God's like, "Oh, Moses." Not that he would do that. He knows all things. So you're taking, survey, right? Moses didn't get to go in the promised land, did he? Yet in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes that he was a good and faithful servant in all of God's house, bringing the Israelites to the cusp of the promised land just so that they could enter in. Why? I would suggest to you that it has nothing to do with Moses, that it had nothing to do with Abraham, really, that it had nothing to do with Joseph before them or before Moses. We think Moses is great because he writes the Pentateuch, right? He has all this. He's the leader of the people of Israel, but his entire role was to bring the people of Israel into their land for one thing. One thing. So that through a man named Jesse, David would be born, right? And that through the line of David, Mary would be born. And that through Mary, Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be born. The son of the house, as it says in Hebrews chapter 3. Everything that we do, everything that we say, we walk, we speak, I'm double speaking here, but all of these things are really for one purpose. God has called each and every single one of you here for a purpose, right? Otherwise, why come? If you're like me, he called me away from a job at Wells Fargo as an operations analyst and said, "Abandon all that, take your wife and your 9-month-old son, go to Boise and go to school." Why? I'm secure. Moses could have been the same way. I'm secure. Look at my sheep. I'm in my father-in-law's business. I'm married. I have kids. Everything's safe, secure, stable. But God had something for Moses. See, in the end of all things, right, it's all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not about where you stand on politics or on certain theologies or all this other stuff. What is the purpose of a Christian, if not boiled down simply in Matthew 28, right? To go onto all the earth, creating disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father. It's not about the Holy Spirit, right? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how good you do on your grades. Believe me, nobody even checks after school. And believe me, it gets a lot easier after school. I now continually write 6-page papers every single week to get ready for sermon every single Sunday. And I love that God called me out of what I was doing for what he wanted me to do. So this week, I'm out of time. I'm over time, actually, it says now. It's counting up. Look at that. This week, I want to pray for you. I hear you guys are going into midterms. How many freshmen do we have? It's your first midterms. You've already done finals, right, for your block class? Right? Are you getting ready to? You're just coming out of it. Oh, no wonder you guys look the way you do. So, no, I'm just joking. I was there too. How many seniors do I have in here? Where are my juniors? In the stretch. Yeah. You guys all have a purpose, and God is calling you to go do something amazing. Right? For his kingdom. It may be standing on stage in front of people and speaking God's word to them. It may be on a street corner somewhere. And is there another song, worship team? You can come forward, I guess. Or is there no? No, that's it? Okay. So like the drama said, why don't you just continue to seek out God's purpose in your life? And realize that he's going to see you through it. It's not about how smart you are or how strong you are. Age will take care of both of those things, by the way. But it's all about what God's going to do. Is it okay if I pray for these guys before I get down? I mean, hopefully you guys like prayer, right? Right? So, okay, good. Well, God, I just, as I've already thanked you in my own personal prayer, God, I thank you for an opportunity to be here just today. That I know that it's really not about me or just anything that happens here today, but that you be magnified and you be glorified. God, I lift these students to you as somebody who loves this school, who will talk about Lion Pride and promote people to come here. God, I thank you for these students' willingness and desire to follow where you're leading them. God, I thank you for the professors here at Boise Bible College, for their willingness and desire to continue to stay with you, to continue to stay with these students. I pray that you would bless these students and this faculty here, that you would bless them with peace and comfort and rest in you. God, that for each and every single individual in this room as students, whether they be freshmen or seniors, on their way in or on their way out, God, that you would direct their path and their steps to the ministry that you would have for them. Again, I thank you for ultimately for the price that you paid on the cross for me and for everybody in this room that makes it even possible for us to be here. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.